it's funny because you said your generation, is into vinyl. And I think a lot of it is that it really contrasts in such a big way, this all you can eat buffet of all the music in the world that is you just put it on your iPhone or your or it's it's through Spotify, it's in your app or whatever, and you can just get it anywhere and you can multitask. But then there's something very tactile and real and that requires your attention about putting an LP on for a small allotted time. You are focused and connected to music. And I think humans are starved for real connection. And I think there's something, what you agree with that?
I mean, 100%. I have like over 300 vinyls, so I'm one of those. But I mean, even to the point where you have to make sure you flip it over, you're in it, you're very locked into the vinyl. So I thought it was very exciting that this is your first vinyl release too, right?
Yeah, isn't that funny? Because when I first started, you moved to New York and got into this thing and started thinking about making records, that's right when, Tower Records, one day I went there and there wasn't a vinyl record. It was all CDs. I'll tell you, I went home and cried. I was just like, this is depressing, because there was something about that thing of holding the album and everything,
Maria Schneider, how's the life balance between the activism and the advocacy and the charting, the making of music, you at the piano?
This is just okay. You're gonna be, are we starting already?
Yeah, we're very conversational, very informal.
Okay, well, oh, if you're gonna ask me about that, I'm an utter disaster of as an example of balance, because there is no balance. That's the hardest thing to do these days, I think, especially because of just the inundation of information and accessibility and everything, that it's really hard to balance all the things in one's life, especially the creative aspect, because to be creative, you've got to turn it all off. And there's just this constant, the email, the texting, the phone, that thing that exists in everybody's life makes it increasingly hard to step away, find silence, be creative, be with yourself. And I struggle with that.
I envision, let's just get Maria Schneider a big stack of blank sheets and a cabin, and it's off the grid. There's no Wi-Fi anywhere. You can't, no Wi-Fi, no cell towers. Way, you have to go way up, drive another hour, and find you a little quiet. Maybe room for a couple of collaborators to come in, and that's all.
Yeah, here and there, because I am a bit of a social animal at times, but and then I need a pair of binoculars, of course, for bird watching, and then don't, and also all my little health food things that I'm into.
Right, exactly. The good life. Hey, a short story. Back in October, right before Halloween, Cleopatra Records and some German engineer contacted the family of Junior Wells, and they got permission to create an AI replication of his voice. And they produced a brand new record that he never sang. It's Your Voodoo Working. The only redeeming part of that project was that they got the family's permission to create this AI voice. On the other side of the story, the state of Tennessee has the first law in the country prohibiting generative AI without the artist's permission. Do you have a template statement on AI and the making of music?
Well, I can one step going back, there should have been permission long before that. That's just a no-brainer. But, even all this stuff of things going up on YouTube, endless things, just about everything of mine that's up on YouTube went up without permission, and that sort of thing is what really destroyed the music business. You know, it's what made all the record companies basically, it's like these big data companies, you know, they wanted all that music to be free because that's what drew everybody to their website. And then that's how they could mine all that data. They never really cared about music. They cared about the data that they would get from all the people that are spending their time there. And now with AI, you know, now they have so much data and they have so much capability that now they can do more and more absurd things. And it's pretty scary. You know, there's a wonderful thing called the, let's see, Project Liberty, it's called. This guy, Frank McCourt, started it. Frank McCourt, who owns the Dodgers. And that is all about creating an alternative internet where everybody owns their own data, has control over their own destiny, over all of these things. And boy, I think we better get on top of it sooner than later. I mean, these things, it's destroying us politically. It's destroying us, you know, emotionally. Just look at the newest generation of kids coming through college. They're emotionally and psychologically on a very large scale suffering. It's not making people happier. It's not making us better.
So I guess that would be a thumbs up to the Tennessee AI law and more of that, please.
If there was a yes and a no, are you into what Tennessee did? Yes.
The congratulations on Artist Share. How many years now?
Well, Artist Share, let's see. I mean, I didn't create it, but yes, congratulations on me being smart enough to use it. I've been doing that for 20 years. It started in, we launched our first project, I think, in 2003.
And
So,
so you didn't start Artist Share then.
no, I
Okay.
was the first artist to do Artist Share,
Okay.
and doing it consistently. A guy named Brian Camilio started it. And yeah, I've just pretty much done everything he said all along, and it's just worked so well for me. I guess I would say I'm the poster child for Artist Share, except now I've been doing it for 20 years, so I'm now the poster senior citizen for.
A lot of folks are jumping on that bandwagon, if you will, and I mean, for all the Grammys, congratulations. The American Association of Independent Music, the AAIM, has its own awards show, the Libera Awards, in June in New York. So, independent music, these folks like Jazz Is Dead out in LA, and there are so many small independent companies that are the life of this music we love, particularly in jazz.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully people are still listening to music. The thing is, it's just harder and harder for the new people coming up to be visible and to exist unless they give it away for free. And then when they give it away for free, right? Because all these sites like Spotify, essentially, you're giving it away for free, unless you're somebody who has such ridiculous amounts of plays. But, you know, 10% of the music on Spotify generates 99% of the plays. So that means that 90% of the music generates only 1% of the plays. That translates further into 90% of the music is having to split 1% of the financial pie. And that's some of the most expensive music to produce, classical music, jazz, you know, music that's live, real people. It's not made in somebody's bedroom, not to knock that, but that's a lot cheaper than bringing a lot of people into an expensive studio.
I was watching actually on the site we were just talking about where your work is, that you showed a picture of your working area with your music and the chair that your dad made you, and how you had written a lot of your music in that one spot. And I feel like you mentioned that you developed your band very early on. Do you have the same band?
10 years into it, I added accordion, and two of my players have died, and there have been a couple of changes I've made. Over the years, and you know, somebody moved to Europe, and you know, so there's been a few changes, but each of the sections have at least two people that have been in there since the beginning. Yeah, there's a lot of us that have been together for 30 plus years.
Maria Schneider is playing at the University of Denver Newman Center on May 3rd. You're bringing your full orchestra. What are you planning for us?
We're playing a lot of music that represents different periods. I have a sheet in front of me, a little bit of stuff from our latest Data Lords CD, which was a double CD. That was our most recent project. I'm doing a couple of brand new pieces that have not been recorded, a couple of old things from the beginning, you know, going back to the beginning of the band. And the band over the years has just developed that music. I featured in the band as one of Denver's own, Greg Gisbert, which we're really excited to play for Greg's peeps and in Denver and show him off. We love Greg, of course. He's been in the band. He's one of us that have been together since the beginning of time.
We spend time talking to composers who write for themselves. They write for trios and quartets, and you write for sections.
Yeah, I write for, well, I write for a lot of things. I write for individuals, like, you know, somebody like Greg, thinking about the way Greg plays and sounds, and you know, everybody in the band has a certain thing. We're going to be playing on this concert a piece called Sputnik that was written for Scott Robinson and my band on Barry. I would have never written that piece, I am sure, if Scott didn't exist. It would be something else. So, and then I am writing too for the sections. The sections each have a sound in my band. The trombone section, they're exquisite. And in Sputnik, I give them a place. They practically sound like the Chicago Orchestra, you know, brass section. Yeah. And then one of the things, because we've played together for so many years, the band has developed this trust and this ability to take risks because they trust each other. So on improvised sections, you know, sometimes they open up, and sometimes I'm standing there thinking, oh my God, how are we going to get back to, you know, the thing? But because they know the music so well and they trust each other and they're just exquisite listeners, it's amazing what they're able to do with the music. So, you know, more and more I try to put in some freedom in the music to allow for that.
You've taken music for the page and brought in what we call American improvised music. The improvisation is still there.
And that for me is just the best because, okay, there, of course, classical music, it's wonderful. But for me, as a person, in the beginning, we were talking about being in a cabin, but I said I'm a social person. I'm also a social person when we perform. I want to put my music out there, not quite complete, that those musicians are going to put something unique in it every night, different, and challenging themselves to be different every night, you know, taking risks with themselves. That at the end of each gig, you know, there's, when we hang out, it's like a celebration of like, God, did you hear what so and so played on that? And you know, that for me is the best, as opposed to after a concert, everybody's saying, oh yeah, it went well. Okay, great, Maria, nice piece. You know, I want it to be more about what they do with it. You know, it's like throwing a party and then sitting back and enjoying people, enjoying each other. And you can see that. The audience will see that in the band. That's sometimes people comment that that's their favorite thing about the whole thing is listening and then watching the players in the band, how much they react and listen to each other. They can see that things are happening, surprising things. They know this isn't just somebody who's improvising but playing the same thing every time they improvise, which some jazz players do. You know, they find some things that work and they kind of churn it and it's a little different, but it's sort of almost by rote. You never hear that in my band.
We hope to see you there. Thank you for a few minutes of your time, Maestro.
Thank you. Can't wait to come and play for everybody. Come to our concert. We're so excited to be there.